morning that you are endeavoring to shape and mold each one of us. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, we all know here, and you know, Lord, our weak spots, and Lord, you know where we need to grow and where we endeavor to grow, Lord, and I pray that you would use this message today here from Brother Steve to continue to shape and mold us, Lord, into your dear Son. So we can leave here, Lord, having learned and having gained more of you, Lord, in us. So just bless Brother Steve here, bless each one of us, that we can give attention to this message and to you. And Lord, help us, Lord, to continue on that narrow way. And Lord, if there's any here, Lord, that are not wanting to yield, Lord, I just pray that you would open up their hearts, that they would receive the engrafted word, Lord, that can change their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Benji. Good morning to each one of you this morning. I want to greet and welcome you in Jesus' name. That name that is above every other name. Thank you, Ephraim, for the glass of water. I was blessed to be here this morning. Thankful to be here with what the Lord brought to us about our attitudes, about being vessels of honor. And then appreciated Samuel sharing with the children some of the fears and bondages that he faced as a child that can be very real and yet kind of somewhat our own making. And so appreciated the thought of just encouraging the children to open up to your parents if there's things that are challenging your heart and that you feel are just causing you anxiety or causing you to try, you know, to be not peaceful. Just bring them to your parents that they can help you sort through them, and then you can be free. And as we heard, you know, if you're not free as an 8-year-old, it'll likely follow you into your conversion, whether that's 18 or 50. But so yeah, thank the Lord for what we heard here this morning. I just wanted to share what the Lord has laid upon my heart here this morning. Most of you have seen these books, the basic Bible studies, and there's a lesson in the back here that came to my heart as I was seeking the Lord what to share here this morning. And it's the lesson number 19 on apostasy. The coming apostasy. Or should we say the apostasy that's around us or here already. I know there's always been some apostasy over the years and centuries. But yet, there's something that the Scripture teaches us about the latter times, the end times, that there's going to be a great falling away. And so I just wanted to look at some of what the Lord has laid upon my heart. Some of it will come from the lesson, and then some will be otherwise. But trust the Lord will give us direction here. So this morning we wanted to look at apostasy, what it is, and how can we shield ourselves from apostasy? How can we grow in faith and in grace and love one for another and for God? And yet, you know, understanding this great falling away that is predicted, is prophesied in Scripture. We want to look at the definition of apostasy. And it is the act of refusing to continue to follow, obey, or recognize a religious faith. This is just the Webster's definition. The second one I like a little better. It says abandonment of a previous loyalty or a defection. And namely, the Christian faith. The life that is in Christ this morning. So the Scripture, we want to look at some of the Scriptures that God wants to bring to our hearts here regarding this subject. that he could teach us today what he wants to teach us. In Matthew chapter 24, there's a few verses there that we would like to start with. Matthew 24, verse 10. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So there's three verses there that we would like to start with. Another verse that I would like for us to keep in our memory as we go through this is Matthew 24:37, that says, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered into the ark." That was 38. 37 says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So here is a warning that as it was in the time before the flood, we're going to see the like manner of things unfolding. It says men's hearts, their thoughts were continually evil. It says in Genesis. And God was very displeased. He said that their thoughts were continually evil, and they were just, it was just, rampant sin and, just rebellion against God. And God destroyed it with a flood. But so he says, he warns us here, that's going to kind of be like that at the end as well. There's going to be a great departure from truth. The Amplified says, "And at that time, many will be offended and repelled by their association with me and will fall away from the one whom they should trust, and will betray one another, handing over believers to their persecutors, and will hate one another. And many false prophets will appear and mislead many, because lawlessness is increased and the love of most of the people will grow cold." And in verse 13 says, "But the one who endures until the end shall be saved." The Amplified says, "But the one who endures and bears up under suffering to the end will be saved." So it gives the indication here there's going to be a great suffering at the end of time. And also in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, a few verses there that teach us that this is another version. It says, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless, puffed up with pride, love pleasure more than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that." It's professing Christianity is what this is talking about. They will act religious, but will reject the power that could make them godly. And we could go both two ways with that. There's two camps there that we could look at just briefly. There's people who are religious, who never knew the truth, are ignorant of the gospel message and truth, and yet they have an outward form of godliness. And then there's the second, group of souls, that there are people who once knew the truth but have walked away. And yet they would tell you this morning that they would believe they're saved. But their conduct, verse 5 in the Amplified, it says their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. So let's remember to beware of only professing Christ and not walking in His footsteps. Professing Christianity is very dangerous. It's more dangerous than people who are out in the fields of sin because they know they're lost. But people who are professing Christians, that is a very dangerous place because you don't know you're lost. And yet you have just a few things that you would, as Brian alluded to, did some good things and maybe seems like God has used you in some way, and so you're thinking that you have God's approval, but yet you have never repented and bowed your heart. So there's a coming apostasy. And so the question could be asked this morning is it here? Is that apostasy here? You know, they have abandoning our previous loyalty to Christ and to His body, His church. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil people and imposters or seducers will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived." You know, an imposter is someone who you pretend to be someone else with the intent to deceive. That's an imposter. And this is speaking of in the latter times, the last days. You know, why do some leave the faith? You know, why does this happen? Well, we know one thing, where it's unfortunate, but it's prophesied in Scripture that it's going to happen. What are reasons that people leave the faith? In Luke chapter 8, talks about the soils of the heart. Luke 8, starting in verse 5. "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon the rock," or a rock, "and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on ground, good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, 'He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.' And his disciples asked him, saying, 'What might this parable be?' And he said unto you, 'It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in the time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience." So that also helps us discern and divide professing Christianity from true Christianity. that good ground is true Christianity. It's an honest heart. It's honest with myself and with others. Hearing the word, keep it. You know, hearing the word, embrace the word of God this morning. I see the time is swiftly passing, and so I will go on here. You know, I believe the end times, the latter times, there's going to be thorny soil. The thorny soil is going to struggle. There's going to be choking and snuffing out of faith, and it's may the Lord help us. And I want to say that when I'm talking about professing Christianity, I'm not just talking about out there. You know, I want to take a look at my heart. I want to take a look at us in here, because this is very real. Now I be Romans 16:17. Romans 16:17-18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We're looking at, he's saying here that there's going to be good words and there's going to be fair speeches, and it's going to deceive the hearts of the simple. Hearts that don't take a look at the Word of God and hold it very close to their hearts and dear to their hearts, and measure by the Word, not by a thought or, you know, by my feelings or my ideas or my emotions. You know, that new apostolic reformation that's sweeping through Pennsylvania and southern Indiana and Virginia, some of those in our circles, it's a movement of emotionalism. It's getting hyped up. It's hyping yourself up emotionally then before long your emotions and your revelations take precedence over the Word of God. The Word of God is back here, you know, your emotions are up here and you're just going places. So beware of that. Beware of these very emotional movements. And they, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That's another way that, there's a falling away. It's just that, you know, the world presses in. And you can't be a friend of the world and a friend of God, the Scripture says. But what does that look like? You know, just, the world is a place that is cold and dark. And yet it looks pleasurable at times to us, to our children. And so just to define that and recognize that, you know, just this is just a real simple illustration, or maybe an observation. The other day we went to the phone store, and on the wall they had a huge poster of a woman with a t-shirt on, and she had it pulled up, you know, and it had it knotted in the center. There was she took the t-shirt material and put a knot in it, which, you know, exposed some of her body. And, I believe that's fleshly and worldly and sinful. I believe that this morning. But yet, I think we're influenced by that. You know, we'll go to see that, maybe, and then all of a sudden, not to that extent, but then there's, you know, a young lady will take her sweater and she'll start putting knots in the front of her sweater, you know, at the bottom. And I'm just begging and pleading that we recognize that glaring worldly attire, and don't go that direction, because it's just it's a pull, and just shun it. You know, say no, I don't want that. I'm not even going to affiliate with that. And so may the Lord help us with that. I went to a wedding yesterday, and my wife and I talked about it. I actually saw a young sister with a sweater, and she had some knots in the front of it, just at the very bottom. And I was just trying to put that together. Is that really, is she trying to, you know, follow that fad or that trend? So that's where apostasy, you know, it begins in the heart. I understand that. But then it displays itself. It goes out from there. We want to look at the heart this morning, that's for sure. But we can't ignore the exterior either when it displays itself like that. But anyway, going on here, you know, why is there, you know, a falling away? It's deception, lack of discernment. There's cold hearts, lack of, you know, the love of many is waxing cold. And so, you know, there's a, the 2 Peter 2 says here that another reason is false prophets, you know, and have lack of discernment. It says 2 Peter 2, 1, it says, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be spoken, evil spoken of. That's the other side of that. And then when you expose these things, you'll be evil spoken of. And so I just wanted to share, you know, some of this emotionalism that happens. I talked to a man that heard a that was at the place where a young man testified in this NAR movement. And he gave a testimony that I just want to reveal here just for the sake of understanding what we're up against. This young man gave a testimony and said that he had been seeking God and the love of God has been pressing upon his heart. And he decided to go to the mountain to get closer to God. And I think that's good. I think we should do those things. But then his testimony was, as he came back, he says when he was on the mountain, he felt the love of God. And it began to press on him. It pressed on him, and it pressed on him. And he said he realized that he wasn't going to make it. So he told God to back off, you know. And so that's not, that don't line up with the Bible. That's heresy. That's false teaching. That's emotionalism. That is sweeping people. That is sweeping people into that. And then they're, you know, they go down the stream a mile and they don't even know where they're at anymore. And so I just want to warn us here this morning, be careful with emotionalism. Be careful with those things. The way of truth is evil spoken of in this day. It's dead. It's old-fashioned. And so this morning, you know, the same movement, they have this thing going where you have to give God a round of applause and scream and yip. And you know, and those things are, I believe we should honor God with all that we are. You know, we need worship. We need to worship the God of heaven with all that we have within us. And let's help, and may the Lord help us to do that in spirit and in truth. Worship Him in that way, not in emotionalism. What are other things or influences that contribute to apostasy or spiritual defeat? I want to name a few of them here. I think music, CCM, contemporary Christian music, is deadly. Those beats and rhythm of that music will take you down the road, down the street. It'll take you down to town. Screen addictions, social media. Some of those things can really, you know, it can speed up the journey and to the friendship of the world. Casual Christianity and lawlessness. Bitterness, offenses, not plugged into your local church. Feeling sorry for yourself. Life just isn't fair. Be careful with that. Because we were never promised that life was going to be fair. Not willing to forgive. Not willing to repent when I know I should. Not willing to submit to your authorities. Just overlooking the strength of being steadfast. You know, being steadfast is something that God wants from us. He wants us to be steadfast. 2 Peter 3:17. I'd like to turn a corner here just a little bit and bring some things that the Lord has been bringing to my heart. I would like to start in if I could start in Genesis chapter 6. And it came to pass, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, they took them wives, all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, some became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So I would like to talk about DNA. Here's a little graph. You probably can't see it, but this is DNA, a drawing of what DNA looks like. And most of you understand that in the recent years, DNA has been very helpful. And, you know, each one of us, our DNA is different. And so it can help identify people that have committed crimes, etc. And so it is a very helpful, finding where it's each one is unique. So what is DNA? DNA is the material that carries all the information about how a living thing will look and function. For instance, DNA in humans determines such things as what color your eyes are and how the lungs work. DNA is short for, it's a word I can't pronounce, but you know, it is in every cell of every living thing. I want to talk about the DNA of us as humans this morning. And then as we see this this example here in Genesis, there were some fallen angels. And they had a different, they came to the daughters of men, and there was conception, and they were children, were born. And somehow God hated that. He decided to destroy it. We don't understand everything about these, but we see that there was a mix of fallen angels with humanity, and God did not like that. God was not pleased with that at all. And so I would like to move on here to talk a little bit about the mark of the beast and some of what I believe could be connected to the vaccine that we're, that's all about us and that we're being forced to look at. And so here in there's a man named Gary Kah that has written some articles over the years that I've appreciated. I'm not where he's at, but some of these things, these are thoughts that I would like to share with you to just to stir your minds, and I'll let you decide, what your thoughts will be on this. But I'll start here. You know, I'd like to say this too. In this day that we live, we hear a lot about conspiracy. You know, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. And then we hear the other side of that, there's skeptics, you know. And so I don't know where you find yourself this morning. Are you a skeptic or are you a conspiracist? But, you know, in World War II, when there was, Hitler was doing, you know, unthinkable things, killing people in the masses, gassing them, you know, putting them in concentration camps and that type of thing. When that was happening, there were the skeptics. Oh, he would never do that. He's our man. I mean, we got a picture of him over our communion table, the Mennonites were saying. And he's our man. But yet, they couldn't believe that he would do that. So they just kind of, you know, they were skeptics. And then there were the people that saw these things happening and began to tell the story. And so I think, you know, we might be living in some of those days. I'm not sure how it'll all be. And the Lord knows I'm not making big rash claims here, but what I have to share here is worth our time, I believe, to consider. There are over 30 known mechanisms of injury induced by the spike protein, and the antibodies to the spike protein and the contaminants in the mRNA shots. Women and girls are having abnormal cycles and miscarriages. Others are having fertility issues. And there's some other things there that I won't say. But the blood clots in the extremities, lungs, and brains of both males and females. And then some have noticed that their bodies are now magnetically charged, possibly due to the ingredients. I want to read a little bit of what they have on their website, Moderna, but they're saying that this could be activated by 4G or 5G. Some Christians who've taken the shot have found it difficult to pray, saying that they can no longer feel God's presence, as if a barrier has been placed between them and God. And so at this time, I wanted to read Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. I'd like for us to notice that the false prophet deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Now this is from Moderna's website that you can pull up. It says, this is wording from their website, recognizing the broad potential of the mRNA science, we set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. It is designed so that it can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. In our case, the program or the app is our mRNA drug. The unique RNA, mRNA sequence that codes for a protein. In other words, the mRNA COVID vaccines are intended to serve as a launch pad for future vaccines and boosters, which will build on the foundation laid by these initial mRNA injections, functioning in a way similar to an app which can easily be expanded or modified according to the goals or overall purposes of the programmer. This begs the question, what future life-altering substance might be programmed into us humans? Also, could such an injection permanently change our DNA? If so, at what point would we become transhuman? Something other than human. Now, I don't have the understanding here this morning to explain DNA to you, but what I can tell you is that it is the life vein of your body. Everything happens in that little helical, that's made of phosphate. The backbone of it is phosphate, and I can't pronounce these other four words, but that's what it's created from. God created it that way. And so the juggler of our immune system, our ability to survive anything. And when you mess with that, you can't go to Google and look at this because they won't tell you the truth. They say it'll go away in a day or two. But frontline doctors who know this thing say that's not true. This will permanently alter your DNA. Then going on here to Genesis chapter 6, what I was talking about, it says here that the transformation of human DNA became prevalent during the time of Noah, when certain of the fallen angels sired genetically hybrid beings by having relations with them. The Nephilim, who were part human and part fallen angels, came to dominate life on earth. All of this was a violation of God's created order. So he sent a great flood to cleanse the world of this satanic DNA and started anew. However, Jesus warned that the period of time prior to his return would be similar to the days of Noah, Matthew 24:37. I believe history will repeat itself, with DNA once again being altered for the cause of evil. Only the return of Jesus himself will put an end to this abomination. The mRNA vaccines are about much more than making money for pharmaceutical giants or solving a global pandemic as they go forward. The main purpose of these vaccines, I believe, is to set the stage to place inside of us the mechanism whereby our DNA can be genetically altered. Unless the powers that be can successfully place this program or app inside us, it will not be possible to take the next step in transforming or controlling humanity. And that is why they are pushing the vaccines forward with such fury. They must get everyone injected before people figure out what's really happening. The COVID vaccines are intended to work in tandem with digital ID technology being sponsored by some of the sources that are funding the vaccines. The globalists involved in solving the COVID crisis are putting in place a one-world cashless commerce system that will induce a device-free digital identification mark number for every human being. Just a little bit more here, and that's only the surface of what's written that I might make copies of for those of you that would desire to have it. So basically, there's a man, all of you know very well, that has adopted his personal mission, or I should say you know his name very well, and the task of enrolling every single person on the planet in a global ID database. And vaccines are the vehicle through which this will be accomplished. And I know that's kind of heavy, and you know, some may say it's conspiracy. I'm not saying that I know this is going to happen or is happening, but it does bear witness with my spirit as I look around and see what's happening. The quantum dot tattoo is the next thing in line. And that is it's a tattoo vaccine chip, which, you know, you can't see it. Basically, it has four prongs. It sets on your skin, and it will inject some dye that will radiate light from it. And they'll be able to read that, scan it. And, yeah, there's just a lot more there that that could be said. But I don't want to take more time with this. I just want to say that they are also over in Africa, and they are out in the bush, and they're grabbing children, and they're testing these things on them. They'll put this vaccine in them, and then they'll monitor them. It's basically the guinea pig mentality or example that's happening. And so I know that was a lot, and it's kind of heavy. But I do believe that I don't know what the mark of the beast is today, and if it's what I was just explaining to you. But I think it's definitely worthy of our caution. A year ago, and when COVID hit in 20, spring of 20. You know, we said, let's give it a year and see what happens. And I believe that, you know, it's definitely continuing to point toward things that we would have, that we would feel would be heading towards what I just explained. And so anyway, I just want to keep going here for a few minutes and encouraging us on in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, it says, "Wherefore him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall." So there's a caution given here, a warning given that, you know, don't just think I'm going to stand, you know, without the Lord's help and without the blessing of a fellowship, a body. You know, we need to remember that we need each other. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, that the son that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Don't be fooled by what they say, the New Living says, for the same verse. For that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, and the one who brings destruction. Hebrews 2:1-3 says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by them that heard him?" So there is no answer to that question. There is no escape if we neglect that great salvation that God has promised to each one of us. Hebrews 3:12-14 says that, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." So here's the warning that Peter's saying, be steadfast, be faithful, be diligent, keep pressing on until the end. There's just a strong consolation there just to keep on being faithful, because he knows, I believe, what the latter times will be like. Ye therefore, beloved, 2 Peter 3:17, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And then 1 John 2 says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist, if you deny that. That denieth the Father and the Son. Whoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. And he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, and ye shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. So that's the consolation there this morning of, just if we stay faithful, we'll have eternal life at the end. And that's the good news this morning. Some teach the doctrine of John Calvin. Once saved, always saved. We know that's not true. Let's look at these warnings here. Jude, verse 5, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. So it's just to show us that doctrine of once saved, always saved is not true. The New Living on that one, on Jude there, says, so I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. And I also read that Israel is pushing back on this vaccine. They have lots of people who have taken it, and they're pushing back on it and recognizing what's happening, and they're trying to get it, push back on it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So stay alert this morning is what the exhortation of Peter is in this chapter. At the end here, I wanted to talk a little bit about fighting that good fight. There was a fight that you and I all waged this week, where some was more intense than others. Some of the battles were very intense, probably for some of us, but others, it wasn't as bad. But there's a good fight Paul's talked about. There's something about a good fight that men sometimes, they shrink from it, or it's entertainment, as we look at the sports world of fighting. Everybody likes a good fight. But there is a good fight this morning, and that's worth fighting, and that is the fight of faith, to finish our course this morning. What are the disciplines we as Christians should exercise in order to have spiritual victory and maintain it? Now, I believe just first and foremost, I just want to lift up worship. When you get up in the morning, worship God. Find a quiet place. Go worship God in the spirit and in truth. Hear from him. Pray to him. Intercede for those who you are, who are around you, who are lost. Worship God, number one. Number two, fellowship. Have fellowship with brothers and sisters on a daily basis, speaking of those things, speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. Bible study and church attendance. You know, coming to church to get recharged, to get to re-encouraged. Don't sit home alone. Witnessing. Go out and telling people about Jesus. Telling them what good things God has done for you. Christian service. Going and serving those who are needy. Your personal devotions as well. You know, having a time, just using that time to pour out your heart before God and allowing it to fill your heart with peace. You know, you get up in the morning, just find that time to have a few minutes. Preferably a few hours, but a few minutes is better than nothing. I'm thinking of a busy mother. I'm thinking of we have busy lives. How can we adjust our busy lives to bring glory to God? To prioritize this morning. You know, on the end of the lesson there, it has the question, do we see anything in our lives or the church at large that gives evidence of apostasy? And if so, what are they? Maybe you could consider that in your own heart as you go home this afternoon. What is apostasy? It's basically a backing away from going on with God. Backing away, you know, well, that it's basically, you know, apostasy has another word for it that follows it very closely, and that is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then you just keep sliding down that slippery slope of sin. So if you find yourself this morning in need, are you willing to repent? Are you willing to fall on your face before the Lord and ask Him just to change those things that you wish were different this morning? 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8 says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. So do you love His appearing this morning? Are you looking forward to that appearing? That's a challenge from my heart. So I just want to thank the Lord for everything that He brought to us here this morning. And I just pray that if you have any questions or thoughts or challenges for me regarding some of the things I shared, I'm open to hearing those. So may the Lord bless you.